This is a common knowledge, you can say. This is common knowledge that the enemy never sits silently and content. However big the enemy is to fulfill the enmity, the enemy will continue to plan, conjure up some sort of framework so that he can inflict loss. That's why an individual should always be alert and aware of the enemy's move. And there's one such enemy who Allah Ta'ala has called the enemy and the great enemy, and who's Shaytan, the wretched Shaytan. He's my enemy, your enemy. Every person with Iman, rather every human being, the Shaytan, the devil, is the enemy of every human being. And what he does is that he plays games with the human beings. He doesn't allow people to believe in Allah. He then goes forward, and those people who have Iman, he doesn't even leave them alone. He creates enmity with them. And his mission, Shaytan's mission, the objective of the mission of Shaytan is that I want my enemy, says Shaytan, I want my enemy to never have eternal peace and satisfaction. I want him to lose out. In other words, I don't want him to enter into paradise. And we should remember this historical fact all the time. We should remember this all the time. And always this point should be in our minds. Always. Our enemy, if there's an enemy that we are aware of, always is in our head, in our mind. Oh, he's going to inflict loss on me. He's going to give pain or hit my children. He's going to turf me out of my home. He's going to do this with me. And 24 hours a day, we are afraid and thinking and pondering over what he's going to do. Oh, if I go here, he'll do this, and my enemy will do this, and I need to be careful and save myself. And this is what happens, isn't it? Traditionally, this is what happens when there's enmity between people. Our real genuine enemy, we never think about it. We've made him our friend. When we say his name, we say, oh, it's okay, Shaitan can't say anything to me. Oh, it's okay, we just take it as a pinch of salt, slightly. But Shaitan's enmity is the greatest enmity, may Allah forgive. He is the one who will take the massive revenge with every human being, and such a revenge he will take with each and every one with us. He's such an enemy that he's with us all the time. He plans, he conjures up, he knows our character, our habits, our desires. He tricks us and he sets traps for us that somehow, let me not allow this person to go into Jannah, Paradise. He has dialogues, discussions in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains clearly how he will speak with human beings, and in the Akhirah, he will be going into Jahannam himself. He will be delivering people to Jahannam, and he will be saying to them, you as well? And he said, I didn't say to you that believe in me. I didn't tell you to follow me. So the Quran, why did you not follow your Quran? Why did you listen to me? Well, Shaitan will say. So he motivates human beings. He whispers in our ears, wasawis, thinking and thoughts. And he'll make us do all of the actions that will take us to hellfire. So this, brothers, is a very important lesson. Don't forget this lesson. Remember this lesson. Just like in the morning when you wake up, you think, oh, my enemy, or is he going to be waiting for me, or I hope he doesn't do this. Don't think about anyone else in the world. First think about the greatest enemy when you get up from your mattress. Allah, save me from this enemy. Save me from the traps and the tactics and the conjuring and the plans of Shaitan. He's got immense strength. Allah, you are the only one. You are the one who can save me. And when you wake up from the mattress, do this dua. There are many duas, dua in Masura, that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. We should seek refuge so many times from Shaitan. So many times we should seek refuge. Allah Ta'ala is giving him open playing field, and Allah has given him permission, and we take it very lightly that we think Shaitan is negligible, it's a minor, and he can't do anything to us. No. And there are big methods that Shaitan uses. He sets traps, formulas, methods, analysis to take people into hellfire. For example, he knows the Quran very well. He knows the hadith very well. Shaitan, he was an alim, a scholar. He had the ilm. He wasn't a minor. He knows the whole Quran. He knows what the Quran says. It's up to us. But Shaitan, he's looking for the weak point. That Shaitan thinks and he plans that how, through which method is his love for Allah increasing? Through which method is his door to paradise increasing? Through which method is his rizq coming? He learns from the Quran. Then he seals those paths. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He seals the paths that the person is using to get close to Allah. Look how Allah in the Quran has made us alert. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look. We read the Quran, don't we? And we read the Quran. He reads the Quran. We leave those verses and we are running after thawab. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Recitation. Oh, tajweed. Oh, recitation, eloquence. There should be tajweed. Should be eloquence. We should emphasize on these points. For example, if Qari Sahib comes, mashallah, it's good, there's tajweed, and he recites nicely, and it's enjoyment listening to the Qur'an in a beautiful, melodious method. We enjoy if somebody recites Qur'an nicely, and there's an effect of that. But this is not the genuine article. This is not what our objective is. Many people come, oh, come and let's listen to his recitation, beautiful eloquence. This is not the objective that we need to go after. And then we'll take out points and grammar, then we'll try to imitate them, and then he'll become a great sheikh. But will there be such a person who comes, who teaches us the amal of the Qur'an, say subhanAllah? Is there anyone who comes to teach us the amal? Nobody will come. Nobody. Oh, he's dry, he's too strict, the message is being conveyed to us, delivered. Oh, beware, the Qur'an is telling you this and that, we won't listen to him. We don't get enjoyment out of listening to the orders of the Qur'an. Nobody, men will come, there'll be no gathering, there'll be no hi-hi, etc. No. Nothing. And this is our issue today. And that shaitan, he knows the game. He doesn't go on to the meaning of the Qur'an, the amal of the Qur'an. He looks at the message, then he attacks the people. That, you know this, what Allah Ta'ala is saying? There are ways away from this. You don't have to practice this. Let me work hard on these human beings so that they go away from the Qur'an. So he's taken one amal, one action, and Allah Ta'ala has given us a clear showing here. Allah Ta'ala has promised Jannah to the people of Iman. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. That in one instant, Allah Ta'ala has given a clear guarantee of paradise. And the shaitan says, okay, is this the case? Okay. So he's read the Quran. Okay, let me look at the hadith. He's read Bukhari, Abu Dawood, and Tirmidhi, and Sitta, and Muwatta Imam Malik. He says, okay, this deed is everywhere in the Quran, in all of the collections of hadith. All right, I need to work on this action so I can get the people away from this action. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen carefully. What I'm saying. Shaitan says, oh, I need to get the people away from this amal. Then he laughs. Oh, no one's going to pay attention to this deed. I'm going to take him away from this. Look in the Quran. This is a great method and deed Allah has given to the people of Iman. They've gone into Jannah. What will I do? Then he feels sad because he's the enemy. And then all night long he sits and plans. Okay. So Allah Ta'ala has given them a way out. And I'm going to do such an action that they don't even think of this verse of the Quran. They don't even think about the hadith regarding this subject, and they'll go off track with this ayah and they will not understand the message. And that's what's happening today. Exactly what's happening today. Nor do we understand. We don't look for the message in the Quranic verses, in the hadith. We don't understand the words. We don't want to understand the words. When he gets such an amal that he can twist and turn and change and flip upside down, then he focuses on it, he draws red lines under it, he tells us to go away from it under the hadith, he says that this is my biggest mission, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such an easy route to the Muslimin to get to Jannah paradise, that they can through the Quran and hadith, through this one example action, get into paradise. If they learn this amal, it's so easy. They will all go into paradise, that everyone will go into paradise, and there will be no man or woman left in hellfire. Shall I tell you this amal? Say subhanallah, subhanallah, look at this amal. This deed, what an ajeeb, beautiful point. And he's hiding this from us. So what does shaitan do? He has got his cabinet and his workers, and they're running after the whole ummah today, that beware, how dare you. Do whatever you want. Pray tahajjud, salah, go on hajj and umrah, keep fasts, nafil. And he's in the Quran. This amal is in the Quran. But if I stop you from this action, then all of your other nafil ibadah will go as well. Allahu Akbar. Because he goes to the root. He goes to the foundation. He breaks the foundation so that the whole building collapses. He says, I want to grab hold of this action. I don't want him to do this action. No, not through anybody else. And Jannah will be far from this person. This is the wretched plan of shaitan. So for this amal, what does shaitan do? First, he makes a person ghafil, negligent, lazy. You know, like you're given an injection and you get drowsy and unconscious, the anesthetic. So he's got anesthetics. And shaitan, he injects people with the anesthetics. People get drowsy, weary, and this is called the injection of the ghafil. Whenever he wants us to go away from a good deed, he injects us, tuck, with an injection. Like a person, when he's got an anesthetic, then he sleeps and they do the operation, then he comes back to consciousness, then they give him a sleeping tablet. Then when he's about to get up again, then the doctor's giving a sleeping tablet so he doesn't feel the pain. So shaitan has prepared injections, that wherever he thinks about this amal, then I'll make him ghafil, I'll make him negligent, that I won't let him understand the verse, so I'll make him a ghafil, lazy. Oh, I'll make this deed hard for him. Oh, it's very hard. No, no, no. I can't do this. Well, it's a very easy amal. He'll say, no, 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 it's too hard. Or he'll start to hate the amal. These are all ways of shaitan. So either he'll make the person lazy of that deed, unconscious, unaware of that deed, or shaitan will inject in the person's brain that, oh, it's not important. Oh, this is not important. I don't need to do this. There are many other deeds. Why do I have to do this deed? Yeah? Or it'll make us forget about that deen. Rather, it's mentioned in the whole Quran, but no, leave it. It's not in hadith, it's not important, I don't need to do this. So, and if a person starts to implement that deed, then he takes him into reverse gear. He injects wasawis into that person and says, do you know this action you're doing, is it correct? Oh, this is not right, this action you're doing. You shouldn't be doing this, leave it. Shaitan whispers into the minds and the hearts. And then he takes the person going to reverse gear. So while he's practicing the deen, the poor soul, he's totally fine. Then shaitan throws wasawis. Have you thought about this? Is this correct? Oh, no, I shouldn't be doing this. He takes a 180 degree about turn. So he uses all the methods. I've just given you a few examples, and this is what happens with the insan, the human being, because of shaitan's teaching. So what is that amal that shaitan diverts us away from? That he takes us away from, upon which Allah has given the promise of Jannah if we do that action. And that action is dhikr Allah, say Subhanallah again, Subhanallah. There's a hadith in Abu Dawood, narrated in Abu Dawood. What a beautiful, beloved hadith. Nice hadith, Allahu Akbar. Man kana kalamu akhrihi. Man kana kalamu akhrihi. La ilaha illallah, dakhlul Jannah. Say Subhanallah. That whichever individual is passing away, departing from this world, dying, and Allah Ta'ala said nothing else. Allah says, and he does my dhikr, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. He's dying, passing away, departing. We all are going to die. Every day we see people dying, departing from this world. People going in different ways. And in the hadith it's stated, if a person's dying and whilst dying, Subhanallah, he does my dhikr, Allah says. Now here, dhikr isn't to make people hear that let me show to people I'm doing dhikr. No, here the heart is doing dhikr, the heart. Because that person's passing away, dying, he's in another, you can say, phase, he's in the trance of death, severely ill, injections have been put into the body, mouth is coming, he's in a bad situation. Now is a person going to say, Allah, 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 to show people? To announce people, we think that he's about to pass away. No, Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that his body, if it is doing my dhikr, saying Allah, 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 his qalb, his heart is doing Allah. At that time when a person's dying, he can see my death is coming. And this is last amal, which is that? He is doing man kana akhir kalamihi. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Dakhlul Jannah. Allah Ta'ala says that if he mentions my name at the time of dying, then my promise, Allah says, the Rabb, Rabbul Alameen, without accounting, I will send him into paradise. Alhamdulillah. Say Subhanallah again, Subhanallah. Say it again, Subhanallah. So is there any greater path? Is there any greater path than this to get to paradise? Tell me, easy formula, easy practice, easy method, easy action. Every man, every woman, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Through this action, dhikr Allah, mentioning Allah's name, will enter into paradise. And if your amal, your last deed, action is this, then my brothers, think for yourself now. Think yourself now. I tell you this, that we die, we will die. And people die all the time, every day. Every day we die. Oh, here's an ajeeb example that, for example, after a little while, we will go to die, won't we? Won't we? What do we go to do when we go onto our bed? Mattress, does someone give you an injection? Does somebody give you a sleeping tablet, tell me? Or drugs? Does somebody make you fall unconscious? So what is it that within seconds you close your eyes and your breath and you keep on breathing and you're detached from the world, unconscious, and you don't know who's doing this? Say Allah. Allah is doing this. Allah is doing this, isn't it? And what do we call this? Maut. Not maut. Rather, Allah says this is death. We say this is sleep. What do we call this? Sleep. We feel sleep. But this is the practice for death. Allah Ta'ala says, we run to the beds. We jump on the mattress and death will come like this. Once I passed away, I tell you that I've tasted death. For a little while, maut, death overcame me. Allahu Akbar. Maut, death is totally like this. Entirely like this. Remember this, what happens to a person? That as soon as you go to your mattress, a person jumps onto the mattress, he doesn't realize anything else, he's tired. How long does it take? Some people are like this, they go on the mattress. We hear it in dhikr, so imagine what will happen on the bed. Imagine the people who snore here, and the people outside, they say, is this a masjid or is this a hotel that people are sleeping? Huh? So when you go to the bed, your mattress, then imagine what will be the hell. Then their neighbors will wake up and hear the snoring so loud. Won't they? So this is our hal, that we don't take seconds to sleep, to pass away. We're a dummy. We're like a machine. There's nothing in our control. Tell me, stop. Can anyone stop you sleeping? You'll feel bad, a pain in your eyes, and your heart will feel bad, and your whole system will start to fail, you'll be tired. Because I can't go to sleep. Those people who can't go to sleep, the poor souls, they say this. They have this complaint. That I try, I'm lying on the bed in the night, I couldn't sleep, I was tossing and turning, this happened. Because ask them, what is the reason for this? How much shock that person has to die. He wants to pass away. He wants to go to sleep in the night. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, don't pass away. Do your dhikr, do dhikr. And then when you feel sleepy, then you go to sleep. Why are you worried about sleeping? He's worried that why can't I go to sleep? Even if he lies down, then he can't go to sleep. He's saying, why can't I go to sleep? Why can't I go to sleep? Sometimes sleep doesn't come because you're thinking, why can't I go to sleep? This is a nafsiyati individual issue. He wants to sleep. He says, I don't feel sleepy. I can't go to sleep. Okay, fine. If you go to your mattress, lie down, close your eyes, read the dua, and close your eyes. That's it. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. Allah is the one who gives ease and sleep and rest. Allah will give you a beautiful sleep. And if not, 10 minutes, even if you sleep, then He'll give you the sleep in that 10 minutes, full sleep. Why do you want to look at the hours? Some people in 10 minutes, their sleep is fulfilled. They're looking at the hours. Oh, 4 hours I didn't sleep. Oh, I didn't sleep 2 hours. And they're totally fine, fresh. He's working, eating, drinking. But in his mind is a point that's gripped him. Oh, foolish person. Allah is merciful on you. He's allowed you to sleep for 10 minutes. Then the rest of the time, do the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given you the strength. He's chosen you for this. That do His dhikr. Remember Him. And you're worried about 4 hours sleep, fixed hour sleep. So brothers, Allah has given a beautiful practice that we go every day to sleep. So I ask you a question now. Questions coming. Tell me the honest answer. MashaAllah. I've told you this before. And inshallah you'll do amal on this. That let's do tajziyah. Let's analyze percentage wise. How many people when they go to their mattress and they pass away, that they are doing the dhikr of Allah the last time before they sleep. Say this from Imam. Honestly, look in your home. In your home, we go straight to bed. Oh, jump on the mattress and we take the blanket. Oh, let me go to sleep. End of story. And what is being told here? مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامُهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلُ الْجَنَّةِ. So here we realize that how will we do zikr at the time of real death? That if today we go to our mattress and from our lips, our mouths, the kalima is not being recited, we're not doing the dhikr of Allah. And we don't even pay attention to our hearts. For this reason, the Sufi Ikram have stated that this dhikr is not the dhikr when you're awake. This is that when you're about to die, pass away, then do Allah, Allah, Allah in your hearts. In your hearts, are Sufi individuals, don't think that, oh, I have to do tasbih. No, in the day, the struggle, the effort, we're making tasbihat, maraqbah, dhikr, wahid, for one reason we're doing this, that there will come a time in the night I have to go to my mattress to sleep and I have to pass away during the night. I'm working hard during the day so that when I go to my mattress in the night, my bed, on my lips is the name of Allah, the dhikr of Allah. And the person who is not doing this for this intention, all day long he's doing dhikr with the wrong intention, and during sleep he's not doing dhikr, then totally he's failed. He's failed. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So let's look into our own lives. Examples. What do we think when we lie down? What do we do? How much we fight on the mattress with the wife? There's an argument with somebody else. We pick the phone up, ring somebody, swear at him, ridicule him. We're going to other problems. What's Allah Ta'ala saying? Remember this message of Allah. Who's telling us this? Shaitan is diverting us. The wretched shaitan. That I won't let this Muslim, this person, do this deed. Such an easy path Allah has given to this person. And shaitan says, I won't let this man do dhikr at the time of sleep. I will make him ghafil, lazy, or make it seem hard for him. Or I'll inject wasawis into his ears, in his mind, in his heart. I'll make restrictions for him. Or I'll include other things at the time of sleep. Shaitan says, I won't let him do this action. And instead of dhikr, listen to this story, music, drama, clips, and this, that go towards the dunya. Why are you running towards Allah? And he'll take us towards thousands of different actions. But Allah Ta'ala has given us one message, Subhanallah. مَنْ كَانَ أَخْرُ كَلَامُهُ. The final kalam, when a person's day finishes, and the night is there, and the sun sets, we're going to sleep. When the fadl of Allah has given us a bed, health, sleepiness feeling, then the dhakir is the true dhakir. That woman is the true dhakira. Then when she goes to her bed, then, and when he goes to her bed, their hearts are doing Allah, Allah, Allah. And that is why Allah Ta'ala has given a big reward, like I told you this first hadith, that those people who do the dhikr of Allah, they will go into paradise, walking into paradise, laughing and smiling. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we want to see, is our dhikr honest, genuine, is having an effect, impact, is it being accepted? Is the dhikr of Allah that we're doing having a good, positive impact on us? Then today, look at the examination, maut will come. Maut will come. But such a person who is a dhakir all his life long, Subhanallah, who is all his life long, has put Allah Ta'ala's remembrance in his heart, the man and the woman. And so much struggle and effort and maraqabat and dhikr of Allah in his heart, the person's made effort every day and he's gone into the company of the people who do dhikr. He has the right niyyah, the right intention, his love in doing dhikr with the people of dhikr. And the person he's learned dhikr from, he's akhlas and akhlaq and muhabbat and love, and he has jazbah, passion, Subhanallah. Then from inside that person, then dhikr, what else will come from that person? The think after today, you'll go now to your bed. remember the words I'm saying. Remember this discussion and analyze. Analyze how many people go to their dhikr and their bed and do dhikr. They say, no, I prayed salah, done my tasbih. But that time of maut, death, Allah Ta'ala says at that time the person who does dhikr, he should go into bed. He'll toss and turn. He'll turn to the right. He'll pay attention to Allah and he'll say, Allah, 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 Allah. And then we'll realize that all day long that person did do dhikr during the morning and the afternoon, the evening. Allah has preferred this person. Remember this, Allah has preferred this person. Otherwise, do dhikr as much as you want. Consider Allah is not happy with this person dhikr, because with his dhikr, there's banditry. And there's crime and there's greed. That's why Allah Ta'ala takes it back. Remember this, that the person who doesn't do dhikr correctly and has hypocrisy in the dhikr and he's two-faced and he's not understand the importance and the essentiality of dhikr. We think we're doing dhikr and tasbih and there's pride in that and showing off and telling people I do dhikr. And there are many ways I want to become a peer or a sheikh or a person who people, they say to me, hi, hi, and you're the best and I get the thawab. Those people will not remember Allah at the time of death. But the person who has this sabak, subhanallah, that I'm doing dhikr for this reason. The objective of dhikr is one, that my Mawla, my Rabb, Allah Ta'ala said that this dhikr of the heart, silent dhikr you're doing at the moment, you'll remember that time when you're dying. So but then, why are we worried? Then there's nothing to be worried about. Allah Ta'ala says, I will allow you to enter into Jannah, paradise. And my friends, will there be adab if we don't do this? Allah's given guarantee here. Allah's given the seal of approval that when your life is being extracted and the angels will say, congratulations. Congratulations, tabashur. They will say congratulations. The Quran Allah says there and then the angel will stand and give mubruk, mubarak, and they'll bring the fragrance of paradise and their form and their appearance and their face will be so full of nur and beauty that that man will be lost in their beauty. The, who are these people? And they will meet him with love and they will meet him with love and they'll say, who are you? They'll say, you are our guest and we have come to take you into Jannah, paradise, subhanallah. And they pick him up, they pick her up, they take that person and apply him with Jannah paradise and the kafan, they surround his body with the kafan. Imagine the scene in Jannah and they brace that person, take him in their hands and they fly through the skies and all the angels are the way doing istiqbal, welcome, introduction. And then they get to the court of Allah. Allah, here's your servant who's come to see you who used to do your dhikr, Allah. Subhanallah. So what a great test we've got in my life. 50 years, alhamdulillah, sitting with such friends like you doing dhikr of Allah. 50 years, the whole life has passed. Since I met Hazrat, I started to do dhikr. That's the time when it started. And I had friendship with my Shaykh Hazrat and a good solid friendship. I do dua that when I depart from this world, that can I take the love of my Shaykh in my heart who gave me so much sabak and gave me so much of a teaching and education that I'm today sharing that with you. This is his karma and blessings that today I'm sat here explaining to you with a passion and desire. In my heart there's no greed. I have no. You may have greed or enmity, but it doesn't make any difference to me. For me, all friends and enemies are the same. We don't keep enmity with anyone. Fakirs have no enmity with anyone. Nor we have keen in our hearts. We have no malice towards anyone. For us, a friend is the person who follows the advice. And that is the person who is enemy who doesn't follow the advice and the instruction. Straightforward. We are fakirs and we have no link with dunya, no enmity with somebody due to dunya. Our heart is clean with the fadl of Allah. With the follow of Allah, that's it. We have no link with anyone for wrong. We love with everybody. Openly we give the message, we portray the message. And this is that message, my friends. The person who does amal on this, I swear by Allah, you will go into paradise looking. That where is that man who made our life and told us to do dhikr of Allah? I swear by Allah, you will be looking. If not today, you won't find out. You won't find out the value today. We look for, is this a very small value at the time of death that will be in this hal? That a person, Allah Ta'ala says that this man, bring him, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm pleased with him, take him back and his qabr, make it a portion from paradise, an abode from paradise, decorate so much that he doesn't realize until Hashr Qiyamah, where is he sitting, lying down. Do we not want to be in this position? Say it, inshallah. You want to be? Then do dhikr of Allah. Listen to my words and listen to what I'm saying. Why do you play games? Why do you play games? Why do you hide? Why do you try to run away from dhikr? Why do you compare and create enmity? What I say when I speak and then you speak back and give answers with the arrogance, then how do you expect to have success? And behind, what is this nonsense? Tell me. What kind of game is this? Become human beings. How Allah Ta'ala opens the paths. And then we go and take sides with the enemy, shaitan. And shaitan says, I will create waswasa in your ears, in your minds. No, no, no. Which masjid is zikr today? In Masjid Aisha. Okay, I won't go there today. That man, he's very wrong. It's his masjid. And this is waswasa of shaitan. Shaitan's whispering, why are you not coming? Oh, I can't go to that masjid because it's happening there. I won't go there. For 50 years, more than that, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fadl, karam, rahmah, my shaykh, sadqa, everything due to him, his instruction, due to the fadl, karam, and the sadqa of my shaykh, I do dhikr. and with you friends, I sit with my friends, I do dhikr, and I've observed this one action, that many people, they do dhikr of Allah, dhikr of Allah, dhikr, and then they disappear, and I'm amazed. I'm shocked. Somebody done dhikr 10 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, and whilst they're doing dhikr, where have you gone? Where's that person gone? Shaitan makes such an attack on them that he takes them out of the fold of dhikr. And where's he gone? He was here so long, and Shaitan takes them. Remember these words of mine, my friends, even if your life goes, you're passing away, don't leave dhikr of Allah. I am telling you this clearly, that don't follow this waswa of Shaitan. This advice that all the amal, take the greatest of amal deeds. Is there any deed greater than salah? No, I say this all the time. There's no deed greater than salah. Salah. All the faraid Allah has given, there's no greater deed than this faraid. I'm telling you this. The five fard, the five compulsory deeds are so great, just like salah. The salah you pray, Isha, 4 rakats for example. And then you say that today I don't want to pray the 4 rakat fard, which I'll pray in nafal all night long, ibadah, Quran recitation, dhikr. In the morning I'll keep a fast, suhoor. And let's leave this 4 rakat Isha, I'll get rewarded anyway. That all your life you can continue to worship after that, miss Isha, and prostrate all your life, but you cannot compensate for those 4 rakat of Isha. That's the amount of thawab. All ibadah, you put in one basket and put the 4 fard on one other side. Your 4 fard will go and pass, but your deeds will not fail, because this is compulsory fard. Allah Ta'ala has defined it as fard. Nobody can compare. So what's the situation now? Dhikr, what will take us into Jannah? Not salah, not fasting, not hajj, not zakah. What will take us into paradise? Dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. So is dhikr not greater than these deeds? No, it isn't. Dhikr isn't greater than these. People say wrong things. Oh look, these people, they do dhikr, they say leave salah, leave the Quran, leave the tabligh. What a waste of time. This is the same waswa of shaitan. Have you understood what I'm saying? So here Allah Ta'ala is saying that the person who does dhikr correctly, consistently, then his final statement will be the dhikr of Allah. And there's a reason for this. The reason is that whatever ibadat are faraid, compulsory, shaitan is included with us in those actions. Some actions in salah, there'll be riyah, showing off, haughtiness, and many actions we do that annihilate, eliminate our salah. That salah is not even accepted. That can take us to Jannah, paradise, to Allah. So what has Allah Ta'ala done? He's prepared that in the dhikr of Allah, there's a speciality that the person who does the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala says that I make your salah so great that Allah Ta'ala accepts your salah at that time. Salah. This hadith, I have less time, but I'll tell you the hadith, that all ibadah, the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has put the quality that all ibadat, Allah Ta'ala elevates so much, riyah comes out, bad things come out, all the amal, Allah Ta'ala brings to that maqam, that Allah Ta'ala accepts those deeds, accepts those deeds. So don't think that, oh, without salah I can go to Jannah. No, Allah Ta'ala says that dhakir, on whose tongue is the dhikr of Allah, which is departing, his salah will be without any comparison, his salah will be great and brilliant. And his fast will be great without any comparison. His Hajj and Umrah will be free from riyah. They will be based on halal earnings. Because dhikr has a speciality, alhamdulillah, that dhikr and sin are two opposite things. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, the person who does my dhikr in his heart, then I will not allow sin to come into that person's heart. That dhikr will surround that person. That's why dhikr is high, lofty. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yes. So dhikr makes a person. It helps a person. So now we have the person who does dhikr, the dhakir, his salah, and the non-dhakir salah. The difference is like the gap between the heavens and the earth. Why? Because the person who does dhikr and praises salah, then that dhikr allows his salah to be accepted. It washes him away from sin and showing off. For example, I've asked you a question that if you didn't do dhikr before, nor did you pray salah. Now give me an honest answer. In your heart, you can give the answer, not to me. That since you started doing dhikr, do you have fikr in your salah that I don't want to show off? I want ikhlas, sincerity, want to pray salah. Really, do you have this fikr or not? Tell me. Do you have it? So who created this? The dhikr of Allah created this. Allah's remembrance created this. Remember this. So now, one other thing we need to hear. And listen, that when we have started to do the dhikr of Allah, and when we weren't doing the dhikr of Allah, then what was the difference? The difference that has come now is that a feeling, a thought process has started inside us. Salah should be good, ikhlas, with riyah, salah will not be accepted. And all the riyah is coming to us. So Allah Ta'ala says, sa'i mashkura, that if you cannot get to that maqam, and you have this feeling that I don't want to spoil my salah, and your fikr and worry, Allah says, I will accept your fikr and worry in place of the deed, subhanallah. So when dhikr creates this awareness and feeling and worry, then what else do we need? And if we still make mistakes, then sa'i mashkura, Allah says, I want to see your efforts. That's what overwhelms other things and thoughts. So brothers, there's lots of benefit in dhikr. We should try not to fall into the trap of ghaflat, unconsciousness, laziness. Whether we feel like we should do dhikr, we should leave it. If a waswas of shaitan comes, don't leave dhikr. Whatever our feelings and emotions are, keep doing dhikr, because dhikr is accepted in every hal. Bid'ah and dhikr are two opposite things. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Bid'ah and dhikr are two opposite conditions. That's why I explained the other day, yesterday or the day before, that all of the methods Allah Ta'ala has explained to us to do is dhikr. Allah hasn't given that many methods for any other ibadah. Standing, sitting, lying down, walking, sleeping, coming, going, with wudu, without wudu, whichever condition, even when you go in the toilet. Allah Ta'ala says they've given you many tariqas, methods for dhikr, that there's no other ibadah that can compare for God. And so how can this be bid'ah? The all paths are from Allah. If I'm sitting here and I do it loudly, quietly, khafi, loudly or medium volume in a majma, in a gathering, in isolation with friends, in a marketplace, at the shop, in the car. Many places, there are many tariqas. So do we do dhikr like this? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Say it again, subhanallah. So I'm saying this so that Allah Ta'ala is giving you the rule. Say subhanallah. So if I didn't say this, then we'd be sitting here like animals, foolish. We'd be doing nothing. What a big loss of life we were earning. There's such a great ni'mah we've attained. So from the waswasa, whispering of shaitan, if shaitan injects a whisper, oh, this man's like this, he's like this, Hazrat Sahib's like this, etc., then you should slap himself in the face, that shaitan, he's come to me, he's influencing me. Oh foolish shaitan, you are trying to make me devoid of a great amal, great deed. And say this in your heart, doesn't matter what happens, I'm not going to leave this practice. Do what you want, shaitan. That's when you're successful. But I'll tell you straight away, shaitan has a lot of strength. I've given an example that I've seen in my life. People doing dhikr, smart, except after that they don't do dhikr. Oh, I'm lazy, I don't feel like doing dhikr. Good scholars, shaitan takes them away. Shaitan was an alim as well. Don't know what waswasa he injects in their mind, and they come and then they leave. They come and then they leave. They disappear. Subhanallah, my heart is feeling good that others like you are sitting here solidly. They are the Darvesh of Bolton. How they're sitting, I feel very happy when we go out from to work. We come back from work and then we hear that we come running. That it's difficult. It sounds difficult. There's no shak, no doubt. But there's reward more for every difficulty, isn't there? For example, if I give you a role for 8 hours and I give you wage for 8 hours, and then if you do overtime, then how much wage do you get? You get more, don't you? Like time and a half, double time. So the hisab, it increases. If you do overtime, you'll get a bit more money. Why? Why? Because you've made a bit more effort. And he says, I'll give you a bit more money. So that is now the example we're taking of Rabbul Alameen. If we come here for the dhikr of Allah, then tell me what our maqam will be, how high our status will be. That our youth will increase, our health will be better, improved. Many people do dhikr. They say, oh, dhikr gives us good health and good feeling. I'm looking fine. What does that person know? That the dhikr of Allah, it gives the health to a person. The dhikr of Allah gives health. And let's do dua to Allah. That Allah, please don't take us away from the majlis of dhikr. Just like, for example, our pious elder, alhamdulillah, that he went from the gathering of dhikr and went to the hospital. I didn't realize he had gone, and I thought he was sitting and nobody told me. And nor did I realize until after, because there's a gap of one day you don't realize. What a great individual he was. Whilst he was doing dhikr, he passed away. Didn't even realize he's gone away. People said, eh, what's happening? We didn't even know. So this is the maut that is required, the death that is required. We don't know he's gone. Whilst he was doing dhikr, he's disappeared. And we want such a death that we're doing dhikr. We go in the morning and in the evening we say, where's he gone? Oh, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. He's gone into Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy. Do we want a death like this or not? So we'll do this when we do dhikr every day. When you come and sit with me in the majlis, never be lazy from this majlis. Never be lazy, negligent. Who does this? Shaitan, wretched shaitan. That's it. Whenever you intend to do good and something, a force is stopping you, whether it's in the form of your mother or your father or your chacha or your uncle or your mamu, etc., doesn't matter. Take any alim, even the mufti in his form and appearance. If you're doing this amal, if this amal is stopping you, then don't listen to the advice. Shaitan will always try every method and tactic. He'll come in different forms and he'll take different appearances, except for the Imam of Anbiya, the Prophet Muhammad. He will come like Gothbak. He will come in my form, in my appearance. Remember this, shaitan. If I say to you, no, don't do dhikr. No. Hazrat Sahib can't say this. This is nonsense. So dhikr is two opposite things. Remember, Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ramtulalay, Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, Ramtulalay, he comes. Hazrat Mujaddad Raftani, no, don't do dhikr. You can have rest now. You say, he cannot be Mujaddad because he's telling me to rest. I will not listen to anybody, subhanallah. I have to depart. I have to go. I have to listen to my Rabb, to my Lord. Will we do it like this, inshallah? That's it. So don't leave the dhikr of Allah. Allah give us health. If we don't have health, then we can't do anything about that. Then Allah Ta'ala will give us thawab, the same reward at home. That, for example, there's so much demand now that we can't go. It's difficult to arrive there. Allah's given us such an illness. There's a stomach ache or a headache, or we're feeling dizzy and we're forced to, we can't go. Then at that time, don't just sit there upset, distressed, that I couldn't go, my dhikr has gone to waste. No. Allah Ta'ala has given you a sickness and you cannot reach there despite that. So it's fine. Rest at home and do Allah, Allah, dhikr of Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah, no difference. Same word. But as long as you have health, vitality and strength, don't leave dhikr of Allah. Don't be lazy. Oh, ghafil, I'm like the ghafil. Oh, I'm lazy. I wanted a bit more than this. It's difficult. Oh, this is happening. There's no excuses. This means shaitan has attacked you and he's successful. He'll take you here today, there tomorrow. And after that, he'll take you out of the gate. And I've 50 years in my life, I've seen this practice. People depart. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. And Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give us a big dua that Allah, we want protection from you. We want refuge and protection from the evil and sins. And we don't want to turn back to what we were before dhikr. Does anybody want to go back to the bad old ways? No. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq. And you do dua for me and I do dua for you. That we in the same way keep our dhikr ongoing until the last breath, inshaAllah.